It's been more than 5 months since the anti-government protests began in Syria. The United Nations estimates that the ensuing crackdown has killed more than 2,000 civilians. The U.S. and European countries have slapped economic sanctions on Syria, and they're looking to impose more. It's putting the squeeze on an economy already reeling from the instability and uncertainty of the past few months. Ben Gilbert reports from Beirut.
Nabil Selhat lives in a little mountain town called Mashtuhelu. The town boasts the best of both worlds, the cool air of the mountains with beaches just a short drive away. Selhat, whose name has been changed for security reasons, usually works as a guide for the flocks of tourists who come to escape the summer heat, but not this year. There's no tourism this year, he says, because for a tourist to reach the resort, he needs to drive down a highway with loads of police and army stationed on it. The police and the army are there to clamp down on anti-government protests. Selhat says there aren't any problems in his town, which is mainly Christian, but he says in nearby villages and towns, there have been clashes between protesters and security forces. So this summer, he's gone to Lebanon to stay with his mother, who is Lebanese. We are living without work in Syria, he says. My father is getting his pension, but it's not much. I'm losing around $1,000 a month, and it's been 3 months since I've worked. Now I'm borrowing money from people and going into debt. Other Syrians in the tourism industry are suffering as well. Reports suggest hotels in the tourist hubs of Damascus and Aleppo are empty. Tourism makes up about 12% of Syria's $52 billion economy. Hilal Kashan of the American University of Beirut says the uprising and the government's refusal to make meaningful reform have put a serious strain on the economy.
There's no tourism, there is no transit, there's a flight of capital from Syria. And the economy is not in full gear.
Gulf Arab and foreign companies have delayed or canceled huge projects in Syria. The stock market there has dropped 41%. Economists say the gross domestic product, projected earlier this year to grow at 3%, may shrink 5%. Kashan says the greatest threat now facing the Assad regime is not the protests, it's Syria's collapsing economy.
Those middle-class people who have secure jobs and send their kids to school and can afford to go to the supermarket and live fairly decently by Syrian standards will begin to realize that the Assad regime has become a liability.
Many of those middle-class people live in Aleppo and Damascus, cities that have yet to see significant protests. Kashan says that people in those cities have benefited from Assad's economic liberalization and found stability with the regime, but
if the good life they seem to be enjoying become endangered, then they may change their mind.
One example came this week. Syrians found that their Visa credit card stopped working due to U.S. and European sanctions on Syrian banks. But it's the rural poor who have suffered most under Assad's decade of economic reforms. He cut subsidies on fuel and food, lowered investment in agriculture, and cut government jobs. Now, in the face of growing unrest, Assad has increased subsidies and raised wages in the large government bureaucracy. Syria used to bankroll the subsidies through its oil exports, but those exports are dwindling. The European Union has been the number one buyer of Syrian oil. Now, sanctions have barred EU countries from importing that oil. Economist Lahsen Ashi says sanctions in general could wind up hurting Syria's poor and working classes, the very people who are protesting.
And the issue is that the effectiveness, it might still take a long time. I mean, a regime can survive for a long time. Iran, Iraq, Libya, etc.
Ashi says economic sanctions can only do so much. He says political and diplomatic pressure is the best way to push the Assad regime into enacting real reforms or stepping down. Nabil Salha, the unemployed tour guide, doubts the tourists will come back to Syria anytime soon, and he doesn't see any end in sight. I'm afraid from both sides, he says. If the regime is toppled, there will be chaos, and the opposition has no leadership, so there's no one to take over if Assad leaves. At the same time, Assad won't make any meaningful reforms that would calm the protesters. For now, Salha is staying in Lebanon, looking for work as a tour guide here. For The World, I'm Ben Gilbert in Beirut.